You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pops Show. Today I woke up and my radio was playing and I was listening to the Mark Davis show. And he gave me the idea for this show, but it was a news item. Joe Biden gave a speech. I'm going to play that excerpt from the speech in a minute. But what he was doing is accusing Donald Trump of selling a sick message. Now, something you need to understand about Joe Biden. He's run for president several times before. He has been caught repeatedly lying, exaggerating, but really lying. He's a gaffe machine. He puts his foot in his mouth more times than most people. People make mistakes. I understand that. I make mistakes. I make mistakes on this show. I try to correct the mistakes. I never, never, never will intentionally lie. I try to tell the truth. Now, occasionally, I can get my facts wrong, largely because the sources that I depend on, occasionally, they make mistakes and sometimes mislead people. And as I said on the last show, and I really believe this, the American people are looking for a person they can trust. In other words, trust is going to be the key question asked of all the candidates from the voters. Can I trust this person to be president of the United States? And you should not forget that, especially if you're running for president. Because why are people asking that? Normally, I would say, well, it's always a factor. It's never the very first question. There are usually other questions. But there's a reason. We've had a president, an administration, that has consistently lied to the American people. It starts at the top, and the president, unfortunately, is a habitual liar. If you don't believe me, go onto YouTube, type in President Obama lies, or you can Google it, President Obama's lies. It goes on and on and on. I picked up on this when President Obama was still senator from Illinois, and it was around, the time frame was around middle of September of 2008. Initially, I was very impressed with Obama, especially his somewhat inspiring speeches on hope and change. But then starting around September, mid-September, and remember, it was an election year, so we were getting close to the last 6-7 weeks of the campaign. The total tone of the campaign changed, and he started a lie. And it's been continuing to this day. The other thing I noticed is this administration attracts liars, starting with the vice president, but also the secretary of state, and the former UN ambassador from the United States, Susan Rice. And what I'm referring to specifically is Benghazi, blaming it on a YouTube video, which was another, that's the biggest, one of the biggest lies. When they knew that very day on September 11th, 2012, that this was not a spontaneous demonstration. It was an organized terrorist attack that led to the deaths of our ambassador there, Christopher Stevens, as well as three other Americans, two working for the CIA, one working for the State Department. So this administration, I call it the Liars Club. Now, I'm not surprised by that because the left has a well-deserved reputation for being liars, and there's a reason for it. If they actually told the truth, what they believe, and what they stand for, they would never, never, never get elected, even for dog catcher. So the lying lunatic left are liars out of necessity. They know if they told their true views on a subject, they would never get elected. So they have to have a story, a narrative to peddle or sell to the American people. Now, a lot of people fall for it because they don't follow politics. Many times voters will fall in love with the candidate. Instead of trying to learn as much about the candidate and his positions on various issues, which I do, because I'm interested in the subject and I have a radio show to put on, so I'm really plugged in. So I heard a clip on the Mark Davis Show, and I tracked down that clip that I'm going to play, and then I'm going to give you some of my reactions to it. But I wanted you to understand, Joe Biden is running for president, because if he weren't running, he wouldn't give this speech. He's the Democratic Party's, he's really Obama's pick to replace Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton's numbers are falling in the polls, dramatically falling. She's in serious trouble, but she won't get out of the campaign. She's in a race to see which type of prison cell she's going to be in. Will it be the White House? Or it will be a state penitentiary, such as Sing Sing in New York. I think she should be sent to the maximum security prison in Colorado. But I'm rather getting a little ahead of myself. The reason Hillary Clinton is in trouble is because she also has a well-deserved reputation for lying, in this case about her emails. And unfortunately for her, she has committed multiple crimes, federal crimes, regarding the handling of classified information from secret to top secret and above. Ultimately, I think this will come out. But here's the dilemma that President Obama has. I've said if it were any other person, by now the Department of Justice would have indicted her. She would be a target of an investigation, and she would be indicted. But she's not any other person. She's the Democratic candidate running for president that thought she should have got it in 2008. She wants to be the first woman president. She thinks it's very much her turn. She has an entitlement mentality. The problem she has is the American people don't trust her. I don't trust her, but she's another liar, just like Biden is, just like the president is. The reason why the president won't have the FBI do it, at least before the election, is if he did pull the trigger, or give the green light, at that point, she has to withdraw. You don't run for president of any party if you're under indictment or in target of a federal investigation, and we're talking about national security issues. And what should give you pause is Hillary Clinton has a reputation, as do the Clintons, of trying to silence their opposition by hiring law firms that hire investigators and look up dirt or leverage blackmail material to keep people quiet. They try to shut people up. And in the Clintons' case, what were they trying to shut up? The fact that Clinton has had multiple affairs with many, many women. He also has a reputation for being a rapist. These are rather serious charges. And this was all known before he ran for president. And it got worse when he was president. So who was leading the charge to cover up this? That's right, Hillary Clinton. I always laugh when they say the Republican Party has a war on women. No, they don't. If you want to look for the real war on women, it's Bill Clinton attacking women, seducing women, and Hillary Clinton covering up by hiring law firms that do investigations and try to intimidate the women. Don't talk or something is going to come out. Do you want to give Hillary Clinton control of the FBI, the Department of Justice, and worse, the National Security Agency? I don't. And she has abused this power when she was first lady. She hired someone that requested thousands of FBI files. You see, the Clintons, there's scandal after scandal after scandal. Now, the problem is many of the voters either weren't born or were children or teenagers when all this was happening. So they don't really have a memory or recollection of this. I do. I lived through it. And we have another Clinton scandal today, this time involving her server and the emails that she's deleted. She was hiding something. That's why she had her private server. So Hillary Clinton is in deep
doo-doo.
Deep trouble politically. I'm not saying her campaign is in free fall, but it's very close to it. The problem the Democratic Party have, and Democrats, even those that are still supporting her, is Hillary is not going to volunteer, is not going to withdraw like Rick Perry did or suspend his campaign. She is fully committed to going the distance and to get first the Democratic nomination. And let me make something very, very clear. I hope she gets the Democratic nomination. I truly hope she gets the nomination because she is severely damaged goods. And the American people, are, if they're not awake already, simply don't trust her. So that's one of the reasons I say this election is very much about trust. Can we trust whoever we nominate or elect president? That will be a threshold question. Now getting back to Joe Biden. I don't trust him. I think he was picked to be vice president because President Obama knew his reputation. Many people will say, well, he's a nice guy, he's charming, but in the next breath will say, don't trust him, he's a liar. And that word gets around. In other words, Biden has a reputation as well. Now, I want to play, it's not a long clip, the speech that Biden gave to the Hispanic Heritage Month reception. Listen to this.
Folks, I don't want anybody to be down right now about what's going on in the Republican Party. I mean this sincerely now. This is not, no, this, I'm being deadly earnest about this. I want you to remember, notwithstanding the fact that there's one guy absolutely denigrating an entire group of people, appealing to the baser side of human nature, working on this notion of xenophobia in a way that hasn't occurred in a long time. Since the Know Nothing Party back at the end of the 19th century. Folks, the American people are with us. I know it doesn't feel that way, but I'm telling you, the American people agree with us.
Well, I heard that clip this morning. I have listened to it two or three times. He's referring to Donald Trump, but he's lying about him. Donald Trump, in his announcement that he was running for president, and you can go on YouTube and listen to it, was referring to illegal aliens, point one, and that's, I need to emphasize this. He's referring to illegal aliens. In other words, people that are in this country illegally. But more importantly, he was talking about criminal illegal aliens that are committing crimes, resulting in the deaths of Americans, the rapes of Americans, attacks on American citizens. And it's a problem across this nation. I witnessed not a serious example of this, in some ways a rather trivial example. One night, and this is many years ago. This was, I would say, at least 8 or more years ago. But it was during the time that Dallas and Texas were experiencing an invasion of illegal aliens. I was stopped at a stoplight. This was in the evening, late evening. Like I said, I was returning from the school to my apartment. And I was parked and was on Abrams. And this is the traffic light on Abrams and Forest. I was in the far right lane. A lady was in the middle. And I don't think there was anyone in the far left lane. Usually that's the turn lane. So the light changes. Normally, I look both ways. And the light was clearly green. The lady to my left enters the intersection. I'm still at the red light. A car, it's called a T-bone, hits her right in the side, spins her car around. The person in the other car continues through the intersection, stops, and I'll give credit, they stopped. I believe about 3, this is a long time ago, several people in the car that did that damage got out of the car. They were Hispanic. They could have been American citizens, but I doubt it. I think they were illegals. And I believe the lady was Asian, probably Vietnamese. We have a lot of Vietnamese. She wasn't, to my knowledge, she wasn't injured, but her car was severely damaged. The Mexican, I believe the driver got out, at least checked to see if the driver of the other car was injured. When he determined, at least superficially, he didn't spend a lot of time. He didn't go to the door, open the door, and check her. He just eyeballed it. He rushed back to the car, and that car sped away. They didn't wait for the cops, which they're required to do in an accident of that nature. There were several witnesses. I was about 3 minutes from where I live. When I got home, I reported it to the police, and that's where I left it. This happens in community after community across the United States. This is something minor. It's not a homicide. It's not a rape. It's not an attack. It's an automobile accident. It could have happened to anybody. It's clear to me that the other car was totally responsible. The light had clearly changed, and the other car was going at a considerable speed to spin that car around. This is happening across the United States. Does that mean all the illegal aliens here are criminals? No, it doesn't. And that's what Donald Trump was not saying. They were trying to, the media was trying to say, that he was painting this with a too broad a brush. He wasn't. They were trying to say he applied that to both legal and illegal, when he really was talking about first illegal aliens, but those who commit crimes. They should be the first ones deported are the criminal illegal aliens that have records. Are we doing that? No, we're not. Tens of thousands of criminal, well, first illegal aliens that are here that have records, and many of them have, most have crimes in the United States, are let go every day. That shouldn't happen. You know, the first priority is if any illegal alien is arrested and it's found out he has a criminal record from whatever country he's in and has committed a crime in this country, should be deported as soon as possible. Now, I'm for due process, but that's what Donald Trump was talking about. You see, Donald Trump made immigration what's called a wedge issue. And if it weren't for Donald Trump, I seriously doubt in any of these debates, immigration would be a topic of discussion. Oh, there might be one or two questions, but it would not be the topic. Donald Trump has made immigration, but in particular illegal immigration, the topic. Now, he's made other issues a topic. He's not a one-issue candidate by far, and I will demonstrate that in a minute. He's not engaging in any type of hate speech or xenophobia or has a sick message. Far from it. He's reflecting the views of the American people that simply want immigration laws enforced. They believe in the rule of law. They believe the laws of this nation should be enforced for everybody, not only U.S. citizens, but people that are here illegally. And that's what they're demanding from both Democrats and Republicans. You see, what Biden is running, and he's trying to demonize Trump. And that is happening both at this level and local level. The message is to say that Donald Trump is engaged in hate speech. That's the propaganda line that the Democratic Party is peddling, or to use Joe Biden's phrase, selling. It's a big lie. It's propaganda based on the big lie. Tell the big lie again and again and again, and then those that are ignorant and apathetic, that don't follow this, will believe the big lie. They will. And that's why he's using. This is a technique that is used by, unfortunately, politicians of many stripes. Why do they use it? Because it's effective. It is effective. That's why it's used. Repeat the big lie over and over again, and soon people believe it. There's a problem, though, that Biden won't admit. The American people, first of all, many of them know he's a liar. But that's not his biggest problem. That is a problem for Biden, by the way. The problem is the American people know that what Donald Trump is saying is true. And the American people have been saying, both when President Bush was president of the United States and when President Obama started to let in and encourage illegal aliens to come to the United States, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We don't want Joe Biden to run. Nobody wants him to run. He's a joke. He is. He's rather a sad joke, a pathetic joke, a known liar. But a known liar is peddling this nonsense. But he's not the leading candidate. But that's who the Democratic Party would have to rely on if, and I doubt President Obama will do this. He could, but I seriously doubt it. Not until after the November elections of next year. If Obama does not give or authorize the green light to the FBI to first target Hillary Clinton and then indict her, it's not going to happen. As long as the Democrats control the Department of Justice, it's not going to happen. It would take a Republican Attorney General, and not for political reasons, but the fact that the FBI has enough information to make the case. Remember, the FBI gathers evidence with the purpose of taking it to court and making the case. You can say anything you want, but can you prove it? And that's the key. Oh, there's a lot of evidence to be gathered, and that's what the FBI has been doing. And I believe with the help of the National Security Agency, because there is one government agency that has every single one of Hillary Clinton's emails, the National Security Agency. Why do I say that? Unfortunately, starting under George Bush, when he was president, he gave the okay for the National Security Agency to collect and capture all the electronic messages of the American people going over, for example, the internet. That includes emails, that includes videos, photographs, phone calls, tweets, your searches, all your financial records. Does that mean they're reading your emails? No, they could care less about most people's emails. They collect it. And what I mean by collect it, first they intercept it and store it at their own facilities where they have racks after racks of hard drives after hard drives. And don't take it personal. They're doing it not only for the American people, they're doing it for the world's population. Anything that crosses the internet, that goes through the United States, as well as some other countries such as Great Britain, Australia, there are other governments that are helping us collect this information, is stored on hard drives at a number of the data centers that the National Security Agency has built and is building. Now, if you're a law-abiding citizen, and I've heard this from some people, well, my life's an open book. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't care if they collect it as long as they can capture the bad guys or prevent another terrorist attack. For most people, I would say you're probably safe, but here's the danger. You don't determine whether or not the government goes after you. You see, the National Security Agency targets people, such as terrorists, bombers. They also target the leadership of foreign governments, both political and military. So if you get on a target list, and they have target lists with a lot of names on it, what do? And I believe Hillary Clinton is on a target list because she is a national security risk. Once you're a target, two big things happen. One is they build a dossier. Think of it as a very thick file folder of all your records. It's both electronic and hard copy. And then they assign intelligence analysts to go over that dossier and start putting the pieces together. Think of it as a big jigsaw puzzle. What is this person doing that's legal or illegal? Who are his primary contacts? Who does he phone? Who does he email or she? What's her network? Who are close friends, advisors, confidants? And they're looking for what's called, the jargon is leverage. They're looking for leverage. They're looking for something that can be used to blackmail you, to use to intimidate or shut you up, or recruit you as a spy. You don't want to become a target of the National Security Agency. You certainly don't want to become a target of the FBI or the Department of Justice. For sure, Hillary Clinton is a target of the National Security Agency. In other words, they have all her emails. That's the point I'm trying to make that's overlooked. Many commentators have said on talk radio, as well as newscasts, that Russia, Communist China, Iran, North Korea, and as well as some friendly countries such as United Kingdom, Germany, France, Israel, just to name a few, have probably hacked in to Hillary Clinton's server. So they have, to the extent they were successful, have all her emails as well. It's not just the National Security Agency. The National Security Agency not only goes after U.S. citizens, but its primary target and mission is to gather signals intelligence on foreign governments. And that's why they built these huge, massive data centers to collect all the information. And then when they have cause, they target you. And that means querying or data mining this database and pulling all this information into one large file with multiple files, or a folder is a way to think of it, but with many, many files. They're looking for your financial records, for example, with banks. They're looking for suspicious transfers of money, either you making payments to someone or someone making payments to you. Now, what the National Security Agency gathers up in information can't be used in a court of law. But that doesn't mean the FBI, with some assistance from the National Security Agency, cannot independently gather the information up from another source. And that's what they do. The National Security Agency tells the FBI where to look, and the FBI looks there or goes after people. What you need to understand is, would you trust Hillary Clinton to have the power to use the National Security Agency, as well as the FBI and other government agencies, to go after you or me? And she has that history. My answer is no. The last thing I want is Hillary Clinton to be president. Now, that might sound inconsistent, but I think if Hillary gets the nomination, and we're a long way from that, it's the middle of next year, we're many months away from that. But if she gets the nomination and wins, she will do it. She's done it in the past, and you better believe she'll do it. See, that's the danger with this turnkey tyranny that both President Obama and President Bush have done. They accomplished a lot of that with the Patriot Act, but it continues today. This show, which is now being broadcast, the National Security Agency will have a copy of it. They'll probably have multi-copies of it because I, when the show's over, will edit the show and get it down to a smaller size, mainly what I'm deleting are pauses. And I do pause occasionally, but I'm trying to get it smaller. So I will post it as a podcast. Many people will be listening to it. So the National Security Agency will collect it. Do they listen to it? I doubt it, seriously. But should I become a target, what are they going to do? They're going to compile or gather up, aggregate, is probably the better term, all my emails, all my communications over the internet. Now, I don't use the internet to make phone calls, but they also have your calls, whether you're using wireless phones or the exchanges. And for most Americans, they're not interested in it. They're not going to read it. They're not going to listen to it. It's only when you become a target and intelligence agencies look at your dossier to see if you're doing anything. What are you doing? So if at any point in time Hillary Clinton, let's do the worst case here, she's elected president and she wants to shut up somebody, how would she go about it? She would get dirt on that person. She no longer needs to hire a law firm that hires investigators. Very simple. You're suddenly made a target because you're a national security risk. That'll be the justification for most of this. Or maybe you're a terrorist. I don't know. Or we suspect the person is a terrorist. That may or may not be the real reason. If they're trying to shut you up, they know you're not a terrorist, not a bomber. But they're looking for dirt. What do I mean by dirt or leverage? Are you an alcoholic? Have you been arrested, for example, when you were young for drugs? Are you having an affair? Are you a homosexual? Do you have a gambling problem? That's blackmail. Do they really trying to get money from you? No. All they're asking is, listen, stop talking or criticizing Hillary Clinton. You won't hear from us again. But if you don't do it, we're going to expose your arrest record or your affair or whatever you're having. That's the danger of what the National Security Agency is doing. I call it a turnkey tyranny because all it takes is an unscrupulous person that's president of the United States and has people working for him of like character. In other words, they can go after you or your friends or your family. And that's something you need to understand. Maybe you're a saint and your life's an open book. But they'll look at your spouse, at your children, or your fathers and mothers to see if they can get any dirt on them. Leverage. It's called leverage. They want leverage to make you do whatever they're after. What I'm saying is it is used sometimes just to shut people up. It's also used to recruit people to spy on their own governments or military. That's why character is so important. We need someone with character, but another way to ask that question is, do you trust this person? I don't trust Hillary Clinton, and I don't trust Joe Biden, because they do have a history, a record of lying, repeatedly lying. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, politicians always lie. If I heard that once, I heard it twice. My response to that is, no, they don't. No, they don't. There are people with character. I'm not saying they're saints. I'm not. I'll even go further. Most people lie. Usually once or twice a day. but they're innocent lies. It doesn't hurt people. That's not the case with what Joe Biden did. And let me play it again. I want to play this again because I want you to listen. It's not a long clip, folks. It's a minute and 18 seconds. Let's listen to lying Joe spreading the big lie propaganda that he's referring to Trump as spreading a sick message.
Folks, I don't want anybody to be down right now about what's going on in the Republican Party. I mean this sincerely now. This is not, I'm being deadly earnest about this. I want you to remember, notwithstanding the fact that there's one guy absolutely denigrating an entire group of people, appealing to the baser side of human nature, working on this notion of xenophobia in a way that hasn't occurred in a long time, since the Know Nothing Party back at the end of the 19th century. Folks, the American people are with us. I know it doesn't feel that way, but I'm telling you, the American people agree with us.
Now, let me say something quickly. The American people don't agree with Joe. And beware of politicians, frankly or honestly or sincerely. That's a tell. The next words out of their mouth are lies. No, he didn't name Trump. You know that subtle point? And he's painting the entire Republican Party. It's very slick. But Trump didn't, Trump specifically, and that's who he's talking about, he went after first illegal aliens that are here illegally, and that is a crime. And let me remind you, if they're here illegally, they've committed at least three crimes. One, they broke into this country without presenting their passport and visa for inspection. And I'm talking about those who come across the Mexican-U.S. border. To work in this country, you need documents. So the next step is once they're in the country, they get either fraudulent documents or steal someone's identity. That happens to be a felony. And then they apply for a job and work here and get the job. That's the third crime. They don't have legal status to work, so they have committed three crimes, two of which are felonies. And the employer that hires them is aiding and abetting illegal immigration and is also committing a crime. You're not supposed to hire illegal aliens. They do it all the time, sometimes off the books, sometimes on the books, depending how good the documentation is. It's almost a crime wave, and it is a crime wave when you multiply this by tens of millions of people. They're not 10 or 11 million people here that are illegal. It's somewhere between 30 and 50 million. Because for every million, the U.S. Border Patrol apprehends, 3 to 5 million every year make it to sanctuary cities. Now, the primary reason most illegals are coming to the United States, and they're not all coming across the U.S.-Mexican border, they're also overstaying their visa. There's two parts to that, the problem of illegal aliens. One is crossing into this country, usually on foot, across the U.S.-Mexican border, but you have people every day flying into the country, primarily some by ship, on business or tourists or students. They overstay the visa. And remember, as part of the visa, you promise to return to your country of origin. And they don't. They overstay the visa. That's a misdemeanor that can turn into a felony. I want to make clear, it's not just people crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. Some are crossing the Canadian border to get in. Many, though, come here legally initially because they have a passport and visa, present their papers, they're allowed in. For example, we have several thousand international students on this campus, and they have student visas. Fine. When their education is completed, whether it's here or another university, they're required by law to return to the country they came from. And when they don't return, in other words, don't honor, break the law, they are committing a misdemeanor that can be also a felony, depending on how aggravated it is. Donald Trump is not guilty of a sick message. But more importantly, Joe Biden and the president and the people that serve in his administration, the first thing they had to do was swear or affirm an oath of office to preserve, to defend, preserve, and protect the Constitution of the United States. One provision of that Constitution is the federal government has an obligation to defend the states and the people against invasion. The United States has been invaded. Over a period of 15 to 20 years, we've had somewhere between 30 and 50 million illegal aliens come to this country. Now, why is it an issue? We also have somewhere between 20 and 30 million American citizens that are looking for full-time jobs. So the bottom line is, today, illegal aliens that are working here are doing jobs that Americans can do. They've done in the past, they do it today, and they'll do it in the future. And see, why the American people are getting upset is they know what this invasion means, that the illegal aliens that are here are taking jobs at below competitive wages. They're directly competing with American citizens. And that means their sons and daughters can't get jobs, or grandchildren, or they might be unable to get a job. Remember, the primary reason you have illegal aliens in this country, there are really two. The primary reason by far is to get a job. They want to improve their standard of living. I understand that. And I know they're hardworking, but that's not the point. They've committed several crimes just to work here. And they're getting away with it because Joe Biden and President Obama refused to enforce immigration law within the interiors of the United States. That's not the responsibility of the U.S. Border Patrol. That's the responsibility of Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement. You see, Joe Biden has betrayed his oath of office, as has President Obama. And right now we have states and courts trying to stop this illegal invasion. Because what was President Obama and Biden trying to do? First, provide, there are two types of cards. One's called a work permit. It's a card that allows you to work here. The second card is a green card, or a permanent legal residence. Initially, they were going to hand out millions, really tens of millions of these, first work permits and then green cards to illegal aliens. Now, why? There's no secret here. The Democratic Party's strategy is to throw open the borders of this country. If you can get to the United States, especially into a sanctuary city, you have a job. They're never going to deport you. In other words, they're never going to enforce the law. Now, why would they do that? The Democratic Party needs to attract more voters. They want the illegal aliens first to get legal status, then get citizenship, because they believe, and I think they're right, they would get somewhere between two-thirds to three-quarters of those illegal aliens that become citizens of this country would be Democratic voters. So that's why the Democratic Party, they don't want to enforce the law at all. There'll be some token efforts to do that, but that's eyewash, because they want as many illegals to first get legal status, then citizenship, and then they know two out of three at least will vote Democrat for probably the next 50 to 100 years. In other words, they're using immigration to try to make the Democratic Party the majority party first and then the single dominant party, so they have, really, you have one party controlling this country. That is what they're about, and Joe Biden is running for president, and you just heard one of the early announcements of the tack they're going to take. They're going to try to paint Trump as sending a sick message out of xenophobia, fear of foreigners. Donald Trump is not afraid of foreigners or international. He deals with them all the time. And he hasn't painted anyone, a group of people, in a negative way. But that's what the Democrats are trying to do. They're trying to demonize Trump, the Republican Party, so Joe Biden can get elected. It's not going to work. Why? The American people are wise to this. The American people are asking for immigration laws being enforced. That's why Donald Trump is number one in the polls. And that's why, whether Hillary Clinton gets the nomination or Joe Biden or someone else, the Democratic Party has a problem. Trump's message is resonating with the American people. They know the truth, and the truth will destroy the Democratic Party, and as well as destroy some of the Republican candidates that also don't want to enforce immigration law. Why? The dirty little secret is the Republican Party leadership also wants to have open borders so they can get large campaign contributions and get reelected. They want to stay in power too. You see, what we have here is the corruption of our political leaders of both parties and the ignoring of the will of the American people. Do the political establishment elites in Washington understand what's going on? You better believe they understand what's going on. And that's why they don't want Trump to get the nomination. And they're trying to, on both from the left, the right, and the center, they're trying to demonize Trump because they don't want Trump to continue on and make immigration a wedge issue, because both parties benefit. The Democratic Party primarily benefits in the future getting them as registered Democrats. They also get campaign contributions. And what's in it for the Republican Party is you have large corporations, the big donor base, also wants open borders. Why? They want cheap labor. There's no secret about what this all about. It's about companies, businesses, but also governments having cheap labor. So Joe Biden has launched his campaign. He started it out with a big lie, calling it a sick message. The only thing that's sick is Joe Biden and President Obama and those that are lying about what's really going on. Now, Donald Trump doesn't take it. If you punch Donald Trump, in other words, if you attack Donald Trump, and this was an attack aimed at both Donald Trump and the Republican Party, Trump fights back. Now, Trump is not a one-issue candidate. I'm looking at the time. I might not have time to play the entire clip because my time, well, I got the message, I can keep going. I want to play a selection. I don't know how long I'm going to play this. I'm going to play this very much by ear, of Donald Trump. Now, this is a speech he gave to a veterans organization. Remember, he's preparing for the debate tonight, but this is on the U.S. Iowa. And if you have time, you can go to, if you want to listen to the show as a podcast, I have a companion blog, pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. Very top, you'll have a picture of me of the studio. Below it, links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. But below that, I have a number of YouTube videos, including that Biden clip that I played twice, but also what I'm going to play right now in case I get cut off. And below all those notes, YouTube videos, articles, I have links to all my past shows at the very bottom. So I want to play a speech that Donald Trump gave to a group of veterans on the USS Ohio that's in off the shore of California.
Thank you so much. Boy, oh boy, I didn't expect that. You know, Joel and the group called and they said, would you come over and speak? I'm here for a certain reason. You know, it's called tomorrow night. So I got here and they asked a couple of days ago, would it be possible to come over and say a few words? An endorsement from your group with so many veterans, hundreds of thousands of veterans. I really appreciate that, Joel. I did not expect it. I didn't expect it. I didn't ask for it. I will say this. I am with the veterans 100%. They're our greatest people. They're being treated terribly. Not only the number of deaths, which are obviously that's tantamount, that's what's going on is incredible. But as of 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, the vets had the longest wait in the history of the Veterans Administration. You go in and see a doctor, you wait for days, and it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. If I win, believe me, it's not going to happen. And one of the things I thought I'd do, and I'd stress so strongly, the veterans' hospitals, obviously, they have problems. They're not properly run. And when you have to wait long hours and long days, and then in some cases, have the doctor say, I'm sorry, I'm going on vacation. Believe me, it doesn't get much worse than that. So we're going to create a whole new system. We're going to take the system apart. And if they're not doing the job, the veterans are going to go to private doctors, private hospitals, public hospitals. And we're going to reimburse those doctors and those hospitals. And you're going to get the greatest service of any veterans in any country because you deserve it. And that's going to be broken down into something that's going to be very special. Right now, and you know it. We have illegal immigrants that are treated better by far than our veterans. It's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen. So, Joel, I just really appreciate it. So unexpected to be here is an honor. They don't build ships like this anymore, folks, you know? We don't do them this way anymore. I actually said, what about recommissioning? Look at this thing. The largest guns in the world, most powerful guns. I learned a lot about the Iowa. By the way, Iowa is a great place for a lot of reasons. You know? We have been treated so well in the state of Iowa. It's been incredible. Number one on the polls, and we love those people. They're great. So this is a great ship. Hawkeye, he goes, this is a great ship, and that's a great state. I just want to say that we're going to come out with some plans in a very short time. We're going to be building up our military. We're going to make our military so big and so strong and so great. And it will be so powerful that I don't think we're ever going to have to use it. Nobody's going to mess with us. That I can tell you. And we're going to have a president who's respected by Putin, who's respected by Iran. You know, let's talk about, for 2 seconds, let's talk about the Iran deal. Now, Obama and his people call him the supreme leader of Iran. Obama talks about the supreme leader. Well, I'm not calling him a supreme leader. But he said the other day that after this rip-off deal is completed, he will never touch, do business with the United States again. We're finished with the United States. They're taking $150 billion. They're getting a deal that's going to need, it's going to go right into nuclear weapons much sooner than you think. They're going to self-police. Think of that one. They are going to go and self-police. They got the 24, they have 24-day provisions. And by the way, what people don't understand, the 24-day provision doesn't start, you know this, right? It doesn't start for a long time before you get to it. The clock is ticking. It could take forever. We may never get in there. It is one of the dumbest deals and one of the weakest contracts I've ever seen of any kind. So, we are going to do things in this country right. We're not going to sign deals where we have four prisoners over there, and they're still there, and we don't even ask them. One of them's there because he's a Christian. We have a writer. We have the whole thing is absolutely insane. You know, they asked the president, and they asked Secretary of State Kerry, who maybe, you know, I've been saying Hillary Clinton is the worst Secretary of State in the history of this country, right? All right, I've been saying it. But it's possible the world blew up around her. It blew up, just blew up. The whole world is like a different place. It's possible that because of this deal made by Secretary Kerry, who has absolutely no clue how to negotiate, it may be that he's going to supersede. And I understand that he may want to run for president. He has no chance, like she has no chance. So we're going to see what happens. We have many problems in our country. One of them is immigration. Now, I took a tremendous hit when I brought up illegal immigration when I announced I was running for president. And for 2 weeks, I said, you know, Rush Limbaugh, who's a great guy, he said he has suffered more incoming, meaning the press, than anybody I've seen. So what happened is you have now found out what illegal immigration is all about. And I am so happy that I'm the one that brought it to the fore, because believe me, it's a big problem. It is a big problem. So you remember, for about 2 weeks, I said, boy, this is tougher than I thought running for president. And then you found out there's tremendous crime. There's tremendous drugs pouring across the border. Tremendous, beyond going to Chicago, going to New York, going to LA, going all over our country. So the drugs pour in and the money pours out. Not a good deal. We get the drugs, They get the money. The drug cartels are going wild. They cannot believe how stupid our government is. They are making a fortune. The drugs come in. The money goes out daily. And I saw it because I was on the border. I was there, and we saw it, and everybody sees it every day. And we have the kind of people that can do something about it, but we have no leadership. None. None whatsoever. So, we're going to build a wall. And Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Believe me. You know, a lot of politicians have said, oh, they're not going to pay. He must be. They don't know anything about it. They never read The Art of the Deal, first of all. So here's the story. I said the other day to one of my people, what is the United States trade deficit with Mexico, Japan, and China? So let's start with China. Almost $400 billion a year. Now, if you have a company where you're losing $400 billion, you got to do something very fast. We don't. We've been losing hundreds of billions of dollars a year, frankly, for decades. Not going to happen anymore. With Japan, where their massive ships float right here, and they drop off the cars, right? They drop off thousands and thousands and thousands of cars, millions of cars, and we sell them beef. And they don't want it because their farmers don't want our beef. They protest and they send it back. All right? It's not going to happen that way anymore. Now, with Mexico, and I love Mexico. I have many people from Mexico that work with me and they work for me and they buy my apartments. Same with China. I have so many people. They pay me millions and millions. What, am I supposed to hate China because they gave me millions of dollars to buy an apartment? I don't think so. I have the largest bank in the world as a tenant. It's from China. Bigger than any bank in this country by many times. They're from China. The problem we have is that the leaders of Mexico, Japan, China, and every other country that we do business with, they're smarter, more cunning, sharper than our leaders. I love free trade. The concept is great, but you need smart people. I have the smartest people in this country lined up. I know the smartest. I have Carl Icahn. I have the best business leaders, and they all want to do it. They're wealthy because they make good deals, like me. I make good deals. It's a talent. You can't be a politician. Look, I'm fighting some very nice people. Very nice, even though I'm leading in the polls. But they're very nice people. But they're never going to do anything with these countries. They're never going to be able to do it.
That was Donald Trump. I don't have time to play the entire clip. I played it for two reasons. He's not a one-issue candidate. He's not a one-issue candidate. Get that out of your mind. That's what the Democrats would like you to think, that he's sending out a poisonous message. I think they're sadly mistaken, because he was appearing before a group of veterans that gave him his endorsement, and he wants to make sure we have a strong America. He's going after the veterans groups, and he's going to get their votes. Veterans like this message because they have not been treated fairly. The Veterans Administration has been a problem under both Democrat and Republican administrations. Donald Trump is right. We should give our veterans, in essence, an insurance policy, insurance plan, and let them go to the doctors of their choice, the hospitals of their choice, in particular where they really can't get good, timely care from the local veterans hospital. That message will resonate with veterans as well as people that are serving our country right now on active duty. He's also talking about national security. Right now, unfortunately, the Republicans made a serious mistake, which I don't have time to get into. But Barack Obama and Joe Biden are going to go forward with this terrible Iranian nuclear deal that will put our military personnel at risk, as well as people that travel in the Middle East. And ultimately, it could be years, 5 years, 10 years, Iran will have multiple nuclear warheads. And once they have that, they will have the capability of destroying Israel, as well as many cities in Europe and eventually the United States. And when you have, instead of one or two or 10, hundreds of these, one or two will be given to terrorists to use on a U.S. city. That's how bad the Iranian nuclear deal is. That's where it leads. It's causing instability throughout the Middle East. Neither Israel, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, Turkey support the deal. So Donald Trump is not a one-issue candidate. And he's right. He took a lot of criticism the first several weeks because they were out to stop him in his tracks, both the Democratic Party and the leadership of the Republican Party, as well as their fellow travelers in the media, your national television networks. But why then is he leading? And he's very much leading, folks, because what he's saying is resonating with the American people. They trust him. Now, it could fool us. We've had people, Barack Obama's the latest example, that will tell you, make promises to you when they're running, knowing full well they'll never keep them. That could happen with Donald Trump. I don't think so, but it could. There are no guarantees in politics. But the initial question that voters will ask is, do I trust this person? Do I trust Donald Trump? Or do I trust Hillary Clinton? If that is the choice, Trump is the answer. It's certainly not Hillary Clinton. If it's Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, again, it's Trump. Because Biden has a history of lying. That's why he was picked to be vice president. That gets back to my point. Trust will be the first question the American people will ask. And the person that gets the nomination of the Republican Party has to have that. I think there are many people, not many, there's at least four or five people in the Republican Party that I could vote for. I'm not a Republican, by the way. I'm not a Democrat. I'm very much an independent. I'm a classical liberal. I believe in limited government. I have reservations about Donald Trump, but I also have reservations about Ted Cruz, Governor Walker, and Ben Carson even. It's not that they don't have integrity, but I differ on the issues. There's no perfect candidate, folks. There isn't. You're lucky if you agree with any candidate 80% of the time. If you can meet that threshold, I'm going to vote for you. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for a leader. A leader that can get something done and change the direction this country is going in. For many Americans, as of right now, that is Donald Trump. It's too early for me and many millions of Americans to make that decision because we don't have to. I'm not going to have to make that decision really until next November. Not this November, next November. And if Donald Trump keeps it up and rolls out positions on the issues, the concerns of the American people, and they like what they see, like this veterans group did, Donald Trump will not only get the nomination, he will be the next president of the United States. Don't consider that an endorsement. It's too early. Tune into the debate tonight and listen to all the candidates. Quite frankly, there are going to be 11 people there on the stage. That's way too many to really have a debate. I think 10 of them, there are a total of 16 candidates, at least 10 need to be eliminated, and many of them will be withdrawing, I think, in the next 60 days. We need to get it down to maybe four or five people, and then we can truly have a debate. So I encourage you this evening, if you have the time, to definitely listen to the debate. Listen to both of them if you have the time, but definitely listen to the leaders, the 11. They're going to go after Trump, and that's something I need to say. Don't be surprised if both the moderators and the other candidates go after Trump. Why? Because he's leading by large margins. The only person close to Trump, and he's still a distant second, is Ben Carson. The rest are far back in the pack. So tonight, all the candidates are going to be tested, including Donald Trump, and you're going to listen to what they want for America and how they would change the direction of the country. So listen to the debate, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com.